Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'd like to just read to begin the 10th verse, and then we'll go back and look at a few verses before. 2 Peter 1:10, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." Now, Peter is admonishing the brethren to something that they have great interest in: their calling and their election. A believer knows by revelation of Almighty God that the Lord effectually calls His sheep. They know that. They know that by experience. They know that by being taught of God. They are convinced that they did not call themselves out of darkness. The believer knows that election is eternal. God Almighty has, from the beginning, elected. He everlastingly loved. You know that. Election. God has elected, chosen a people in His Son. The believer wants some biblical assurance. He wants to know. When Peter says, read those words, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." Why does he do that? Well, he knows that, as we've said before, the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. He knows that man left to himself will convince himself that he's religiously okay. The believer is concerned. What does God have to say about calling an election? Has He called me? If He's called me, then He elected me. You can bet that. That's a fact. You don't have one without the other. Now listen, I think that I can look into the book of life. I know that from the foundation of the world, the Scripture says in Revelation that the book of life was written from the foundation of the world. It's not a recording angel, as I've heard someone say, that whenever someone gives their heart to Jesus, that a recording angel writes their names down. Names were written, Gary, from the foundation of the world. Can we look into that book by our eyes and see our names written there right now in this life? Can we? No. Some things that belong to God, secret things, but those things that are revealed belong to us. We're told to give diligence to make our calling and election sure. Surety of calling and surety of election. The Scripture says, "For whom God did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, them He also called." God's going to call His people. It's what I want to know. I want to know that I make diligence to make my calling and my election sure. what does the Scripture have to say about God's calling, God's election? If there be true conviction of sin, I've been convinced of my guilt in and of myself, the just penalty of it. If there be true conviction of judgment, that is to say, if God has judged Christ in my stead at Calvary, if I, by God's grace, be convicted, truthfully convicted of righteousness, that Christ's imputed righteousness to me is truly my covering that shall stand, then I have a hope. Give diligence. Let's look at these first few verses, because Peter has something to say about this. And this is something, I'm telling you, you that believe, you're concerned with this. You want to, you know, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. You want to know. I want to know. God's people don't take this lightly. It's not a frivolous thing. This is eternal. This is concerning me. This is concerning you. Peter. Simon Peter, verse 1. A servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Peter's writing, let me say this, to them who have obtained by the Spirit of God, obtained by God's grace, obtained by God's gift, having given unto us. It's by this precious grace that the believer is enabled to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to Him. That's what, you know, look. As Moses lifted that brazen serpent in the wilderness, the Lord says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God be lifted up. Look to me, all ye ends of the earth. Come to Him. Rest upon Him. Trust Him only for remission of sins. Peter, servant of God, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace, he said, verse 2, and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. There's a blessing that is invoked to those that have obtained this precious faith. Grace and peace be multiplied, or may there be a greater discovery unto you. It is by grace that we are saved and faith to believe God's word concerning the Lord Jesus Christ brings peace to the heart and the knowledge of Christ that is applied to the soul. Grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. According, verse 3, as His divine power has given unto us all things. Now there's a key right there. We're going to find this over and over. These all things, these things, if these things be in you. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now this knowledge is not a speculative knowledge. It's divine knowledge through the knowledge that he was talking about in verse 2. It's not a speculative, but it's a lively knowledge that manifests itself in a true love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to know Him. He said this, His divine power in verse 3 has given unto us all these things. This knowledge is not a selfish knowledge that brings glory to man, but it's concerning all things that pertain to life, that is, spiritual life and godliness, that is, godly behavior. He said that whereby, verse 4, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, the same these things that he was talking about are all things in verse 3, by these, you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All these things given are great and precious promises. Now, these promises reveal to us Him who we trust, Him who is our hope. And through these promises, we realize that there's no need that's going to arise toward us that Almighty God has not already made provision for in the Lord Jesus Christ. Great, precious promises. Now, men are born and they grow up. We look at a little baby, and a little baby comes forth from its mother's womb, and he begins to grow. And growth is the evidence that there's life there. You know, you kind of wonder about a child doesn't grow. You kind of wonder about a plant. You know, you go out there and plant your garden, you know, and something just it doesn't begin to manifest itself. Something's wrong here. Well, Peter is going to talk to us a little bit about some great things, all these things, all things pertaining to godliness. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." You know, a believer is not satisfied concerning his knowledge of Christ. Is there anybody here that has trusted Him, that has cast themselves upon His mercy, that says this, "I'm just as satisfied as I can possibly be with what I know about Him. I know all I need to know. I don't need to know anything else." That's not so. You desire to know more of Him, to long after Him. I want to hear of Him. I want to hear of Him again. I want to hear the same thing. I was thinking, as Brother Scott was reading just a minute ago out of Romans 3, I was thinking to myself how refreshing it is. I've read Romans 3 before, but you know I need to read Romans 3 again. I want to hear Romans 3. I want to hear, "Tell me one more time. Tell me one more time about Him who has justified me. Tell me one more time how He's put away my guilt. Tell me one more time of these great and precious promises that are given me in Christ Jesus. One more time. Let me hear that." The more that is revealed, the more we realize our need to know more and the more we desire to know. Great and precious promises. And it's by these promises we are partakers of the divine nature as a new man that exhibits by grace that new nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And besides this, now, we've been given some great and precious promises. The Lord God Almighty has given unto us some promises that I want to look at for just a minute. Besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith, verse 5, virtue. Now, we're admonished to give diligence. Do that speedily. Do that carefully. Consider these things. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, we're getting ready to look at some things in the next few verses that are absolutely key. Because the Scripture says in verse 8, and we're going to look at them starting in verse 5, it says in verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I want to know what they are. If I am admonished to give diligence to make my calling and election sure, if Peter has revealed under the inspiration of the Spirit of God in verse 3, that it is by His divine power that He's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. If He's given them, then they're His. If he's given them, they're from him. And it's not something that I've manufactured. It's not something that I've come up with. I know this. Faith is the gift of God. It's given unto man to believe. We are absolutely given an admonishment to give diligence to that which God has said, a man that knows him shall have. Who is going to give diligence, first of all? I'll tell you this, it's those that have obtained like precious faith. Why do they give diligence? Because they desire to know what God Almighty has got to say about their calling and election. How then is this diligence manifested? Well, certainly we can say by grace. But what does the Scripture reveal concerning the believer's growth, and to what do we give diligence? Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Be constant. Give diligence. Be careful. Be persevering. Be eager. We want to remember, first of all, that we have been called with a holy calling. Give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. It is by faith alone that we receive or behold or come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to rest on Him, to look to Him. But a lively faith will not leave us barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Faith in Christ is the evidence of life. You know that. Faith, besides this, Peter says in verse 5, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now, let me just make one thing real clear. You don't have the ability to, of yourself, add anything. You do not have the ability to add to faith in the perfecting of it. That would be contradictory to Scripture. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. But this adding here is going on in practice. That's what I mean, going on in practice. There are some things that's going to be manifest in a believer. It is by these things that Peter reveals, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, that God has given some evidences to His people. And by these, you make your calling and your election sure. If these things be found in you, that's what He's saying. Verse 8, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Adding here, Christ has commanded it, and love to Him constrains us to do it. Let me ask you, do you have a desire to make your calling and election sure? I want to know. Has He called me? Has He called me? Has He called me by His grace? What's Scripture got to say? These things, it's obedience, these truths, precious truths. He says, first of all, add to your faith virtue. Virtue. Now, a believer is going to manifest virtue. What is that? It's firmness, strength, stability. It is that ability to do, as Paul says, all things in Him who strengtheneth me. Virtue. Does the strength come from you? Absolutely not. Turn with me to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6:10. Paul says in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, I thought about that. Be strong in the Lord. What is that? If the Scripture says these are the evidences of a believer, add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Firmness, strength, stability. Paul says, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. When is a man strong in the Lord? A man is truly strong in the Lord when that man is realizing his own weakness. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:10, for when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. When I'm weak, when I know and I'm convinced of God's Spirit, by God's grace, I'm weak. And of myself, I can do nothing. I must lean on Him. I must look to Him. I must have Him. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Be strong in the Lord. Add to your faith virtue. Almighty God has taught us, first of all, that the evidence of a believer is that he sees in himself he's weak. Add to your faith virtue. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. But my strength is God's strength. He said, secondly, in verse 5, and to virtue, knowledge. First sign of a believer is that God's given him faith. God's given faith to believe that faith is not a gift. Faith is a gift of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Add to your faith virtue, strength, God's strength. Thirdly, add to virtue knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge of Christ according to the gospel, according to God's revelation of Him in Scripture. Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He prayed his high priestly prayer in John 17:3. This is life eternal, that they may know Thee and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. Eternal life is not a profession of religion. It's not reformation of manners, or even a knowledge of facts about God, but it is a revelation of the true and living God to the heart. To know Him. What is it to know God? It's to believe Him, to love Him, and to come to Him as He reveals Himself in the person of His Son. Virtue is added to faith, and knowledge added to virtue. Without Him, I can do nothing. This is life eternal, that they may know Thee. And then next, the Scripture says in verse 6, and to knowledge, temperance. Temperance. What is that? Temperance. It's endurance. What it means. Endurance. Waiting or enduring in the midst of trials. Being able by God's grace to bear the burden graciously, for it has been sent by Him who is all wise, who is all good. Sent toward us by Him who is all loving, patiently continuing because God has purpose to keep His own. Truly, they that endure to the end shall be saved, but remember, we're kept by the power of God. Through faith. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And then to temperance, patience. Patience. Being able to rest and to believe and to trust and to know that He is who He is. And then He says to patience, godliness. Godliness. That means devotion. True spiritual worship. Striving after. Following after. Verse 3 says, His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Godliness. It's a struggle against the old man. That is not of ourselves. That, too, is the gift of God. Truly, godliness is a difficult term to define. But the essence of godliness is an attitude toward Almighty God when it manifests itself in devotion toward Him. Almighty God grants His people a heart after Him. And then to godliness, verse 7, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Or love for the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ says this, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples." Brotherly kindness. And then to brotherly kindness, charity. Love for Christ, love for His Word, love for those who oppose us. Love. Love is of God. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is the gift of God. Make your calling and your election sure. Faith, the foundation grace given, faith to believe Him. Adding to that faith, virtue, strength, God's strength. Strength in Him is weakness in myself. Virtue, knowledge of God, knowledge of my sin, knowledge of my need of Him. And to this knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. Make your calling and election sure. Has Almighty God done this for me? Has He given me some of these characteristics? Do I rest in Him totally by His grace? Do I see, based upon His gift to me, a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? If I do, if God given me a knowledge of Him, a resting in Him, a waiting on Him, a strength in Him, God's given me calling. Called me. Elected me. Let's pray. Our Father, how we thank You tonight for Your mercy and Your grace. How we thank You that You've given us some evidence. That You've given us some evidence that is for our assurance, that we might know, that we might look to, that we might rest in totally the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that these things are not of ourselves. These are great and precious gifts given by the power of Almighty God. These precious gifts that are given, we realize, are given by Your grace. We pray that You'd forgive us where we've thought and done and acted so disrespectfully. Father, we pray now that You would cause us to behold and to rest in these great truths. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.